The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2019 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2019. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
Okay, when you think about Chick-fil-A, what are some of the words that come to your mind? Yummy, delicious. Oh, this is good. Y'all are interactive already. What else? What else? My pleasure. Yes. What else? Smiles. What else? Shirts tucked in. It makes a difference, doesn't it? Truett, our founder, used to always say, look sharp, be sharp. And now I have my little five-year-old saying that, which is really good. Mommy, I don't want to do my hair. I'm like, look sharp, be sharp. He's like, okay. What else? What else comes to your mind? Charity, yes, giving back. The philanthropy of the Cathy family is inspiring, absolutely inspiring. Anything else? Closed on Sundays, yes. And the family is so dedicated to that. We're so thankful. Anything else? Cow, good PR, yes. And no one has said lines yet. I'm a little surprised. We're being very optimistic. I love that. But something we work a lot about is how to maintain the speed for guests while still simultaneously having hospitality and that tension within both. And we're going to talk a bit about that today. And just as Davey's mentioned, Chris is here today. So we're going to talk some of the history of Chick-fil-A, the why hospitality matters, what it is for Chick-fil-A, and then Chris is going to help us talk about the how. How is that implemented within the restaurants? And ultimately, we're going to leave you with four main questions that we think through that if you so choose, you can think through as well in your hospitality journey. So to dive in, we're going to ask the question of what is hospitality? What is it? When you think of the words service, and you think of hospitality, how are they different or how are they the same? So how would you define service? Fast, meeting a need. Delivery. The delivery of the service, yes. How would you define hospitality? Warm, welcoming, friendly, absolutely. So in our journey, we've said service is about providing that product. Hospitality is caring for people. They are distinctly different, but when they're married together, that's when you get something really magical. You think about the brands that you love and admire. 2 days ago, I was at Disney. One of those brands that is one that I love and admire. And they do both of these really, really well. The providing of that product, but then that true caring for people. We waited 20 minutes on a hamburger for my five-year-old at the end of the day of being in the parks and not eating anything but like sugar for about 8 hours. So you can imagine the meltdown that's happening next to me. Finally, the burger arrives. I think my face was a little bit like, finally, but I was trying to be composed. They gave us the burger. She said, I am so sorry that it took so long. Can I please get you some ice cream? I was like, wow, that's fantastic. The empowerment that they had. And then I ate that ice cream the whole way back. No, I'm just kidding. Gave it to my son. But, but the balance of having both of these is critically important. We find in our data that our guests have higher overall satisfaction when it's hospitable opposed to if it's just that providing of the product. It can be fast, it can be accurate, it can taste really good, but if the people are not caring, that overall satisfaction is not as high. The handshake of the host affects the taste of the roast. Has everyone heard that before? The handshake of the host affects the taste of the roast. The environment that we create, that hospitality, that feeling that we get, impacts the overall experience. So I'll just say it again. It can be fast. It can taste good. It can be accurate. But if the feeling isn't there, we probably won't get those customers coming back. And we've learned that again and again from one of our thought partners, Hort Schulze, who I believe has been here before to speak to y'all, but he's been a friend for decades. He's the reason that we say my pleasure. One of my favorite stories is about 17 years ago, he was in a meeting with Truett Cathy, our founder, and our executive committee. And for those of you that have heard him before, he is German and passionate. And he was telling the executive committee that we should use elevated language. He said, at the Ritz-Carlton, when a guest says thank you, we say my pleasure. He said, but do not say that. That would make no sense. That would be stupid. It would be stupid in the fast food restaurants. But at the Ritz, we say it. But you should figure out elevated language. And Truett, sitting at the back of the table, just sat there. He used to scratch his nose like this. And he went, I like it. So Horace, with a little more passion, said, but do not say it. That would be stupid. It would be virtually idiotic. Do not say it. And Truett went, I like it. And for 10 years, Truett inspired us as an organization that when a guest says thank you, we say and mean my pleasure. And Horace has come back since, and he said, I didn't think it would work. But now Chick-fil-A is known for that signature even more than the Ritz-Carlton. Why do you think that is? It's good. It's genuine, and it's somewhat unexpected, right? In the fast food industry, it's not expected to hear that. And any place where we can deliver what's unexpected, that's where we really get to set ourselves apart. But even better, we get to really impact lives. And that's why we're in the business. Truett often said, most people think we're in the chicken business. We're not. We're in the people business. We just happen to sell chicken. I think that's the same for each of you. Education is a means, but what you're really in is you're in the people business. You're growing the next generation of leaders. We have 180,000 team members like Chris leads across the country, and that's a force of the next generation that hopefully will be saying my pleasure as they're growing up. And many parents say they start picking up their socks and start doing the laundry and doing all these things at home because of how they're being trained at Chick-fil-A. Same within your schools. The way that you're training and leading and guiding the next generation, that's what really matters. And when we can find the unexpected ways, we get to impact them in ways that are incredibly, incredibly powerful. So we're going to talk about the why, the what, and the how. Why does hospitality matter? What is hospitality for Chick-fil-A? And then how is it truly implemented? And again, I'm going to leave you with these four questions. So the first of why does hospitality matter, I'm going to take us back to Truett. Our true founding as an organization is in who he was as a person. And so I want to show you a video that helps explain a bit in about 2 minutes a bit of his history and the legacy that he has left for us.
A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Proverbs 22:1. S. Truett Cathy, a larger-than-life character who flourished from despair and lived his life to inspire and enable others to do the same. He was the embodiment of humility and patience, service, and grace. A good name indeed. Born during the Depression, Truett learned the value of hard work and customer service at a very young age. He was a true entrepreneur, not just a business owner. Today, his ideas, ideals, and legacy live on through his cherished family, friends, and business. He was the inventor of the chicken sandwich, but known for so much more. Truett gave millions of dollars to allow students to attend college and campers to experience the summer of a lifetime. He established dozens of foster homes and countless philanthropies. He was a remarkable man, husband, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and friend. Today, we celebrate the life and legacy of Truett Cathy. Thank you, Truett.
It's been my pleasure.
That video is produced for his 90th birthday, a very big birthday party that he did not want. He was not thrilled about it at all. But that video was produced, and it helped summarize so much of his life, and it's the true foundings for why hospitality matters for us at Chick-fil-A. This is a great picture of Ben and his Truett. Ben is his brother. They opened the original Dwarf House. For those of you that are out of town or those from Atlanta that haven't been before, just down the road in Hapeville towards the airport is the original Chick-fil-A, which was called the Dwarf House because it was so small. And they opened the original Dwarf House together, and then a lot of tragedy happened. This is a picture of the original Dwarf House. They gained great success. They opened up their second restaurant, and it burned to the ground. And right about that same time, Ben and a few others were in a plane, and they had a plane crash, and everyone in the plane was killed. And so Truett's brother, best friend in many ways, and business partner, passed away. And Truett and Jeanette were newlyweds at the time, and they felt responsibility for the families of everyone's husbands that died in that plane crash. You partner that with growing up in the Depression. There's high levels of responsibility, frugality, wanting to be the very best that he could possibly be. But this is the foundings. This is the roots. Today, we're celebrating so many successes, but this is where it all started and all came from. And it's why hospitality matters to us at Chick-fil-A. Right next door, you can't quite see it, there's a gravel parking lot. And there was a house that Truett rented, and that's where he would sleep at night. And that's part of why we're closed on Sundays, is because he was open 6 days a week, 24 hours a day. Many of the customers that he served were Ford Motor Plant employees and Delta employees. And so they were working all through the night, the various shifts, and when he would hear that crunch of the gravel of a car driving up, he knew a customer was there. He could hop out of bed and run over and start cooking for them. He certainly had employees, too, that would be there, but he had high, high levels of responsibility. He came to work until right before he passed away. There were times when he would get in the elevator and he might tell someone that when they got to be his age, they could work quick like him, and he might head home around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there were even a few times that he asked someone to clock him out, and they got very uncomfortable in the elevator. Like, I didn't know we clocked in, and you're the CEO, and I don't know what to do here. But anyway, he had a fabulous, fabulous sense of humor. Really hard work ethic, but he truly cared about his customers. He knew that if he could care about them and deliver a great experience for them, then they would come back. And he often said, we want to get better, not focus on getting bigger. Because we know if we get better, our customers will demand that we get bigger. And it's so easy now to think about bigger, bigger, and growth. But there's a cost of growth. There's pains with growth. But if we focus on getting better, then our customers will demand that we ultimately get bigger. This is the first Chick-fil-A in a mall. Fun fact, Truett's sister, Gladys, worked in the Greenbrier Mall, which is not too far from here. And she said, Truett, you should open up a Chick-fil-A inside the mall. And they went to the mall, the company that managed the mall, and said, we'd like to open up this Chick-fil-A. And they said, never. People will never want to shop and eat food at the same time. Never. But they persisted. And between Gladys and Truett, they finally convinced them that they could open up this restaurant. And it truly was the impetus for food courts, as we know today. So we started to expand, opened up freestanding restaurants. But the truth was always that Truett cared about caring for guests and caring for his employees. He knew that if his employees were cared for, then the guests would be cared for. But if the first didn't happen, the second wouldn't. Same as you heard this morning, if the self-care isn't there, then it won't be possible to give out. You can't give out of what you don't have. If your team doesn't feel that level of care, then your parents and the students won't feel it. It all starts upstream of how you're caring for yourself and your team. And then ultimately, it's the overflow that happens for the customers or for the guests, the students, and the parents. Courtesy is cheap, but it pays great dividends. Truett said this often. He was a man who spoke of principles. He didn't always talk about the tactical, urgent things that needed to happen. He would talk about the high-level principles that were true. He'd often say, marry the mission and just date the methods. Be flexible with changing the methods, but be committed to the mission. But courtesy is cheap, but it pays great dividends. To look people in the eye, to smile at them, to say, welcome, I'm so glad you're here. I mean, thinking about being a parent, I mean, we just experienced preschool for the first time with our son at a new school. That first day, the emotions are high, right? The way that you allow those parents to feel like we're going to take care of the most precious person in your entire life. It can be cheap, but it pays great dividends. And I'll show you some of that when it comes to data, for those who love data, in just a minute. But, oh, I'm going to show you this. This is Truett.
I'm not sure what mediocrity really means, but to me, it sounds like to me it's kind of a bad word. A word that I don't want to be associated with. I have no desire to be another McDonald's or Burger King or Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'd rather have one place and do a good job than have hundreds of places where 10% of them are not doing their very best. So I ask you to ask yourself, are you performing at your very best? And it's surprising the miracles that take place when we're performing at our very best. If I should ask you if you had a choice of achieving success or achieving excellence, which would you choose? There's a lot of people that achieve success, but generally success is only a temporary arrangement. Success comes and goes, but excellence endures when success moves on.
What do you want Chick-fil-A to be? I want Chick-fil-A to be a great company, but you have to understand that a great company is a caring company.
It's your responsibility to live up to the reputation that we tried to capture back in 1946 in treating your customer, treating them just like you'd like to be treated.
We have a great opportunity to influence the lives of other people. And I would hope it would be for the influence of good.
Timeless, timeless messages. Those were him speaking to our internal staff. Every February, we get together with all of our operators and staff and their spouses. It's grown to be about 6,000 people now. But those were the things that he would talk about and repeat over and over and over again. What stood out to you that you heard? Anybody have one of the quotes that hits you uniquely? Success comes and goes, but excellence stays. Anything else? I love the one of a great company is a caring company. Like, what do you want your school to be? I loved how he asked that. What do you want Chick-fil-A to be? He was asking the operators that. What do you want this to be? What do you want your school to be? I want it to be a great school, and I know that a great school is a caring school. Powerful, powerful, timeless principles that can be remembered, and they're critical for us. That's the first reason why hospitality matters for Chick-fil-A. The second is because it's who we are as a business. And this is our corporate purpose. Right here, to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that's entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. Now, let me give you a little context behind this statement, because I think the stories behind the statements are the most powerful. It's 1982. Interest rates, about 20 to 22%. Truett had just taken out a $10 million loan to build what we now know as the support center for Chick-fil-A, our home office. Chicken prices were rising because competitors were starting to offer chicken sandwiches, and the demand was there, so the prices were rising. He felt like he was building the gravestone to the business in that six-story building here in Atlanta. hard times. So he gathered the executive committee together. They went up to Lake Lanier, which is north of Atlanta, and asked the question, why do we exist? What is our purpose? And this is the statement that they came out with. In the depth of the trial of that time, it's to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that's entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. And I imagine that every staff at Chick-fil-A and every operator, maybe not every team member, would be able to quote this by heart because it's a core of who we are. It's our purpose that drives us. It's our purpose that aligns us. It's our purpose that directs us. And hospitality is woven all throughout this. To glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that's entrusted to us, that's 3.2 million customers today that are entrusted to us. We can be transactional, and we can be fast, and we can give them a great tasting chicken sandwich and get them on their way, or we can choose to let them feel known and cared for and special, and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. So why does hospitality matter for Chick-fil-A? It's who True It was, it's who we are as a business, and it's also really good for business. A few stats and data that I'll share with you. And I'll tell you a quick story that helps bring this one to life. So it was 4 years ago we did some research at Chick-fil-A to find out what is the power of hospitality? Does it really matter? And we did some ethnography research where we went deep with customers into their homes. It was a blind study, so they didn't know it was Chick-fil-A. Stanford was our research partner from California. And we asked customers questions to really find out what they're thinking, what they really want, not just what they say. And the summary statement that came out of that was hospitality has the power to confirm or deny one's sense of humanity. I was blown away. Hospitality, being cared for, has the power to confirm or deny one's sense of humanity. So the first thing I did was I picked up the phone and I called my parents. I was so excited. My dad's the CEO of an aviation company, and I thought, yes, this is going to be awesome. He's going to be so proud. And I said, guess what, guys? And I told him. And you know what he said? He said, oh, that's sweet, honey. I was like thwarted, like no, I thought he was going to be all impressed. And so anyway, we ended the phone call a little bit later, but the next week he called me back. He said, Elizabeth, it's true. I said, what's true? He said, that thing you told me, hospitality, it can make you feel really good or make you feel really angry. And I was like, no, it's confirm or deny one's sense of humanity, but anyway, go ahead. He said, well, I went to this restaurant, and I wanted to try a new product that they had. And Davies mentioned I formerly was in wellness in ways, so he told me he wanted to try this product called a Whopperito. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's like a heart attack in a tortilla. But go, okay, we won't talk about that either. Continue. And he said, so I went in, and I went to the counter to order, and I said, hi, you know, I'd like to try a Whopperito. And she said, we don't have that. What do you want? And he said, I was a little perplexed. So I decided I would tell her about the billboards, the radio, and I even kind of knew enough about it, how to make it. So I said, well, you see, right down the road on Orange Avenue, you have this billboard, and on the radio, it talks about it. It's a very soft, fluffy tortilla, and it has crumbly Whopper inside, and then you wrap it up. That, I'd like to try that, please. I'd like to have that. I'll buy that. And she said, we don't have that, sir. What do you want? I grew up with my dad. Like, what'd you do next? You know, like, oh, are you in jail right now calling me? Or he said, I was shocked. He said, I got really upset. And I said, why? He said, I felt so disrespected. I said, really? And then this, he said, I'm never going back. And I said, that location right by your office? He said, no, I will never be going to that brand again. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. I said, that one thing. He said, absolutely. So why do customers leave a brand? Okay, for you, it would be your school completely. Why would they leave? Not just for a moment, not for a year, but for good. And go ahead and imagine on top of that how many people they tell about the fact that they're leaving. 9% competition, 14% dissatisfaction with the product, 10% personal preference, 67% attitude of indifference from an employee. That's not even rudeness. That's just an attitude of indifference. Powerful. The Amazon effect, and I have some slides that I can send you guys for a lot of this data that you can have. The Amazon effect, rising customer expectations. How many of you are Amazon Prime members? Has it changed your life? Have your expectations risen? I order things now from other locations, and it's like, your toddler's clothes will be there in 8 to 10 days. I'm like, great, they'll be at the next size then. They will have outgrown it. Thank you. I want it now. Amazon effect. Our expectations as consumers are through the roof. My daughter said the other day we were at a gas station, and they had an advertisement for ice cream. And she said, wouldn't that be cool? She's 4 now. Wouldn't that be cool if they just brought that to me in the car? I'm like, oh, great. You know, here it goes. 81% of consumers demand improved response time. 76% expect organizations to understand my individual needs. 68% anticipate organizations will harmonize their consumer experiences. What does that mean? Harmonize your consumer experiences. Let's use Disney as a beautiful example. If you've been and you've used the Magic Band, it's incredible. You can get into the park. Your children can run around buying anything they want with your 4-digit passcode. They just swipe and hit in 4 numbers, and they've purchased it. Your credit card, your room key, into the parks, all of it is harmonized together. The same thing for us in our organizations. Don't make me register here and then register there and fill out this paper here and then this paper there. It should all be seamlessly harmonized together. That is what is being expected into the future because of how different businesses have disrupted our expectations. By the year 2020, customer experience will overtake price and product or service as a key brand differentiator. That's next year. Isn't that fascinating? By 2019, more than 50% of organizations will redirect their investments to customer experience innovations. The experience is critical, and how we're able to anticipate what people want and deliver it to them in the way they want is what's being expected today and into the future. And then 84% of companies who focus on improving customer experience are reporting an increase in annual revenue. So how we're treating each other, how we're harmonizing systems and processes, how we're making it seamless and meeting those expectations is resulting in growth in a positive way. When you look at this from Emory, which is right down the road from us, they have a great chart looking at satisfaction and loyalty. You all want happy parents who are going to send their children back to school next year, right? Pretty much agreed? Okay. Well, if we want to get to that place of loyalty, we want customers coming back and eating with us. You all want parents satisfied sending their children back. You have to get to the satisfaction rating of 5. South of 5, consumers will abandon a brand and they'll just hop. They'll go somewhere else. Amazon, that's great, but when Walmart is starting now to pilot delivering your groceries into your home, have you heard this? And they're piloting it in Vero Beach, where my parents live. I was like, are you guys going to try it? They're like, no, no. But Walmart's now going to deliver your groceries into your house, and you don't even have to be there. Fascinating. Start to play out into the future where we have refrigerators in our garages, and you can press a button on your phone, open your garage, someone puts the groceries in your refrigerator. Really into the future, as we're thinking, there'll be ways that your food can then be prepared and ready from your refrigerator into a heating unit to then be ready when you get home. Blows your mind, right? The way things are changing. Convenience is king. But if we want to really help guests get to the where they're loyal with us, we have to get to a satisfaction rating of 5. Or maybe for you, when you're looking at satisfaction, it's on a 10-point scale, so a 9 to 10. So how do we move guests from 4 to 5? How do we move our parents, families, and students from 4 to 5? So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about. So what is it? What is hospitality at Chick-fil-A? Because that's what we find helps move that needle from a 4 to a 5. We can be accurate. We can be fast. We can be convenient. And actually, we have to be all of those things. Those are table stakes for entry. But then on top of that, what really moves towards loyalty is going to be the way that you're treated. So what is hospitality at Chick-fil-A? For us, it starts with a mindset. The mindset is key. You can think about changing results. You want to change results in your health or your finances. Well, that's going to be preceded by a change in behavior, right? You got to save more. You got to eat less. You got to exercise more. That will result in a change in results. But even before that is going to be a change in your mindset, or as we'll talk with Chris a little bit about later, a change in your identity, the way you even think about yourself and the way that you think. So to help bring this to life, I want to show you a video. This is an internal video of ours that we've used for our team members across the country to convey this mindset of care and this mindset of hospitality. Every life has a story if you take the time to read it.
I know, right? Every time I see it, I'm like, whoa.
But with 3.2 million guests coming today and then again tomorrow, we're in the people business. We're not in the chicken business. We're in the wanting to care for a guest who might be having the Ritz-Carlton experience for them to come to Chick-fil-A. They might be having a hard time right now. Or as I've heard it before said, that either you're walking through something really difficult, you just came out of something really difficult, or you're about to walk through something really difficult. But all of us have something going on in our lives. And so that helps our mindset, that we're here to care for guests. Yes, we have to move them through quickly because we care. They have other ways that they want to spend their day than sitting in our parking lot on the drive-through line. Yes, we need to be accurate, all those things. But the way that we can look guests in the eye, say thank you for dining with us, I hope you have a great day, that's what really matters. And that's what makes it meaningful for us. The second piece after mindset is culture. Culture is critical. Creating that culture of hospitality, that culture of care. There's actually two operators in the room, and I won't call the other one out, but both of these guys create culture for their team that empowers them and inspires them to want to care for guests. They are an embodiment of sorts of how Truett was. Truett cared so much about his team, about people. He was so generous, and that changed our lives. It impacted my life. My husband was Truett's assistant for 7 years, and so we lived next door to Truett and Jeanette for the first 5 years of our marriage. And the way that he genuinely cared about people, he was a hard-driving entrepreneur, he loved to get a good deal, but he genuinely cared. And that culture led to loyalty internally, to where there's a 97% retention rate at the support center. Same with operators. And even within operators' restaurants, the turnover rates are significantly lower than competition because that culture is key. Mindset and then culture. So one of the questions, first I want to show you this video. This is good. I forgot about this. So this is a great example of culture. As I play this, you're not going to hear anything, but you're going to see a lot. Jonathan heard happy birthday for the first time by a group of people. He'd never heard happy birthday sung to him by so many people. Can you see him? Thank you. Thank you. Culture. That's not in any manual. That's not in any plan. That was a manager and a group of team members that said, it's Jonathan's birthday. And they pulled out their phone and YouTubed signing happy birthday. It took them 10 minutes, they learned it, and then when Jonathan rounded the corner from the freezer, they started signing happy birthday to him. Can you imagine the impact that that had on his life? That's what happens when a culture is hospitable, when there is care. Those ideas just start coming. Again, they're not scripted. They're natural, they're organic, they're genuine. But mindset and culture, which then leads to this question of how do you reinforce a hospitality mindset and culture? What you talk about, what you measure, what you celebrate, that's what matters to your school, to your students, to your parents. For us, what we talk about, measure, and celebrate, that's what matters for us as an organization. We had one operator who shared how he had a business consultant who is a part of the Chick-fil-A organization come to his restaurant and asked, "Hey, do you mind if I ask your team what matters most to you?" He was like, "Oh no, I think I'm okay with that." And he wanted it to come back and be something about people. But when the business consultant came back, he said, "You know what they said?" He said, "What'd they say?" He said, "Labor costs." He was like, "It pierced my heart. But that's what I talk about all the time. Whatever we talk about most, that's what matters to our organization. That's what they believe matters most to us." He said, "That was the light bulb switch for me that I have to change what I'm talking about. If I'm always talking about things that are just showing up on the financial statement, that's not my heart." And that was a turnaround point for him where he said, "I'm going to start intentionally talking about the things that I know matter to me, and then I believe the rest of that will work itself out." So mindset and culture and knowing how are we reinforcing that over time repetitively so that we don't lose it. And then the third one is around language and behaviors. So how we speak and how we behave are critical. So operational excellence and second mile service, those are the ways that we think about the two major components of the experience. Operational excellence, what would you say is required? We've talked about this a little bit, but what is required in an experience you have at Chick-fil-A? You expect it to happen. Accuracy, yes. Nothing worse than driving off through the line and you got the wrong order. There is a Facebook video out there by a really funny lady who she makes the comment of, you know, at Chick-fil-A, if I get the wrong order, that's just what the good Lord was supposed to give me. I'm like, I wish every customer felt that way, but not so much. So accuracy, what else has to be true? Speed, it's got to be fast. What else? Quality, it has to taste good. What else? Smiles, attentive and courteous employees, people who care about you. And it's got to be clean, right? Because you want your kids and grandkids to be able to run barefoot from the playground to the bathroom, right? No, I let mine do that all the time. But I wouldn't let them do that in any restaurant. Operational excellence, you have to have those key pieces. So thinking about your first mile. In 2007, our CEO, Dan Cathy, in his quiet time, was reading through Matthew 5:41. And it says, we all probably know this chapter and verse, but if a man asks you to go with him 1 mile, then go with him 2. So the history of that was the Roman guards could ask anybody to carry their baggage, their shield, and all their stuff for 1 mile. It was law. But Jesus was saying, do the unexpected. Keep going. Past that 5,280 feet, take that next one and keep going another mile. And Dan started thinking, what would it be like for us to go a second mile in quick service? What does that mean and look like? And that's when some things started to bubble up. Has anyone had an experience at a Chick-fil-A where there was something unexpected that happened for you? Umbrellas in a rainstorm, yes. What else? I saw a hand go up. What's that? Free food, yes, especially if things take a little bit too long or just being generous to give away free food. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, I love those things. The plastic mats for kids that you just kind of rip off the back and it sticks on and they can mesh their food all over the table and you're not kind of cringing thinking about germs. So operational excellence, and then where we and you and all of us can differentiate ourselves is going above and beyond, going that second mile. So we talked about operational excellence. What's your first mile is that second question. So how are you reinforcing a culture and a mindset around hospitality? And then identifying what's expected. What do you have to do just to be on the ball field? And then the question of second mile and what is above and beyond for you. And I'm going to give you a fun story, and then I'm going to invite Chris up. So this story happened at the Ritz-Carlton. And we're going to play out a little scenario. Imagine if this was you. You're on vacation with your family. Your four-year-old leaves his favorite stuffed animal at the hotel. Any parents of young kids or grandparents with young kids, you're feeling it right now. The total meltdown ensues. So this dad gets on the phone. They just stayed at this great property at Amelia Island. He tells the story. He says, please, his name's Joshy. They're like, your child? And they're like, no, I didn't leave my child. My child loves a stuffed animal. His name's Joshy. If you can please find Joshy the giraffe, that would really be meaningful. How many of y'all have ever left something in a hotel before? Keep your hands up if you got it back. That's pretty good. That's impressive. I have a lot of things that I've donated over the years that I call and they're like, no, we don't have your pillow. And they're like, they're probably sleeping on it. I'm like, ah. So a few days later, a package comes in the mail. And in this package is Joshy, but there's something else. There's a note and some pictures. The note goes something to the effect of this. Thank you so much for letting Joshy stay with us for an extended vacation. He enjoyed time by the pool, had a few spa treatments. He helped at security out on the beach, as well as behind the scenes security doing some other tasks. We hope that you come and stay with us again at a Ritz-Carlton in the future. Who do you think these pictures and the card was really for or most meaningful to? The parents. I mean, the little boy is like running around with Joshy headed to his room, and they are probably just shocked at the amount of care and intention. Courtesy is cheap, but it pays great dividends. Where do you think they spent their next vacation? I would imagine at a Ritz-Carlton, and probably everyone thereafter that they possibly could save up their Marriott points for, but, or at least for me, but courtesy is cheap. It pays great dividends. How much do you think that cost the employees? Cents, right? I mean, they just had to print off some pictures. But how fun do you think that was? I mean, you can imagine the employees being like, cucumbers, get the cucumbers, put them on his eyes. That would be awesome. Oh, get some sunglasses. Oh, this will be so great. Hospitality is fun. It's fun to get to care about people. I think innately God made us that way. But sometimes in our roles within different organizations, we have to be let loose a bit. We have to have a little bit of freedom to care. At the Ritz-Carlton, Horst Schulze, again, I told you he's been a thought partner and mentor for us, he set a $2,000 limit anytime a guest had a problem, an employee was empowered to fix it up to $2,000. Isn't that intense? I asked him one day, I said, why did you say $2,000? And he goes, oh, BS. And I was like, really? He's like, no. And I was like, I'm so confused. He said, no, the lifetime value of a guest. He said, I knew the average age of my guest was 50 or 45. I knew they were going to be staying with me for about 35 more years. I know that they stayed with me 7 nights a year. It was $300 a night. I added up. He said, I knew I could handle $2,000. I said, how often did that get abused? Like, how often do people spend like $2,500? He said, never. $800. The most that was ever spent was $800. I said, well, why'd you say 2,000? He said, they had to have freedom. They had to know they could go high. I had to give them room. I said, so what happened with the $800? He said, a couple was on their honeymoon, and on the beach that day, the husband lost his wedding ring in the sand, and they were devastated at dinner, devastated. The staff heard what happened, and they bought two more metal detectors, added it to the two they had, and four of them went out scouring the beach. Can you imagine the next morning at breakfast when the waitress brought over his wedding ring? Right? $800, the best $800 that Ritz-Carlton could have ever spent. So courtesy is cheap. It pays great dividends. We have to have a mindset, create a culture, have language and behaviors around this. And when we do, the impact that we can have on those we serve and those we work with is tremendous. But to really help us talk more about that, to dive in deeper of what this looks like within our restaurants, would you please welcome with me Chris Darley.